The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got some new spectacles there, pal.
I did. Joshy loves them because they're like his, but my wife says they're too small for my face and I look like Harry Potter. I look stupid.
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter!
I'm like, I really don't care what you think, and I'm just wearing them for spite.
Are you doing magic? Let's see then. Sunshine, daisies, buttermellow. Turn this stupid fat rat yellow.
What do you got in your hand there? A magic wand? Harry Potter? You're not doing yourself any favors with the old magic wand.
If I hear you yell,
Oculus Reparo!
I've only tried a few simple ones myself. But they've worked for me.
Oculus Reparo sounds like fix my glasses.
It is.
Repair. Wow. That was layered jokes, buddy. Good job.
Oculus Reparo. That's better, isn't it?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
Anything happened yesterday, gang?
Nah. Not that I can think of.
Normal-ish day. Chewy got new glasses. Talked about that a little bit. Harry Potter. What a kerfuffle. I like that word, kerfuffle. That makes me chuckle.
Jen, I had no idea when you texted me and it said, call me soon or now. I'm like, uh-oh.
I said,
what did I do to Jen?
Hey, call me. That's what it was. It was, hey, call me. And that phone call was at what time, Chew?
It had to be, well, my time, it was like 3-something.
3:55, I believe, your time.
3:55. And I had no idea why I had to call you.
Big guy made it all the way to 4 p.m.
I wanted to see if he could make it to the show this morning.
I can't believe no one told me.
Well, I was playing a fun game of how long will it take Chew just to find out by himself that something he said went crazy on the internet.
That's so awesome. What's the number up to?
We are approaching 6 million views.
Wow, that's so awesome.
I wonder how many of our loyal listeners became aware of it yesterday. We have a very loyal fan base. We have got people who listen to us every day, who weigh in on the show every day, who chit-chat with us. Those people, I feel like, know our show. And I think there's a benefit there. There's a luxury to knowing the show. A lot of people yesterday learned about our show. And they did not have nice things to say about our show. So I think we need to start with what Chew said yesterday. Josh, do you feel like we should say and play what Chew said yesterday that set the internet on fire?
Let's hear from the horse's mouth.
All right, let's hear it.
But Gabe, I go back and it's little things like this. And the reason we won in 95 when no one gave us a chance in San Francisco is because we intimidated them. I mean, I always revert to Wayne Simmons. Wayne Simmons kicked the crap out of Brent Jones. And then it got contagious, and then it carried over. That's why guys are going to think I'm crazy.
Well, we already thought that, so go ahead.
A 15-yard penalty, and I don't condone this, but I kind of do in the playoffs. a 15-yard penalty for a late hit on Brock Purdy is not a bad thing, as long as it's worth it. I'm just saying. This is the mindset you go into when it's battle, and it's kind of like the reverse of hockey. What don't they do in hockey in the playoffs, Joshy?
Shave their beards?
That and one other thing.
They don't fight.
They don't fight. They don't fight, right? This is kind of like sometimes a 15-yard penalty is worth it early in the game if you knock the living crap out of the guy. And then he, kind of like sticking your helmet in the ribs of Nick Bosa, is like,
but that works.
I'm hearing ghosts.
So, Chew, a couple of times in that clip, you say, it's worth it. It's worth it. There's an ambiguity there that I think some people are misinterpreting. What did you mean by sometimes a 15-yard penalty is worth it early in the game?
Well, let me just, did you hear the word injured at all in that clip?
I didn't.
So nope. A false narrative coming out of California. Wow, we've never heard that before. That's weird. So what I meant by that, and I'm standing, if you think I'm walking it back, San Francisco fans, you're crazy, okay? And what I meant by it, Jen, is sometimes a technical in basketball, even though the fans get frustrated, is a good thing. It gets you a call later down the line. And what I was saying is, and I'll go back to 95 when we played them, because we were 9.5-point dogs there. We went in there and dominated them, intimidated them, and that carried over for years. We went 6-2 in the 90s versus the 49ers, and it should have been 7-1 because Jerry Rice did fumble. So we owned you. You know why I know we owned you and intimidated you? Because Dallas did the same thing to us in the 90s. We didn't think we could beat them, and we were intimidated by them. We had that mindset of, I think we can win. That's where, and I could care less about 49ers fans. Let's just get, I am all about the Green Bay Packers. They need to get back to that in order to start flipping this thing around, because the last 10 years or so, the 49ers have been our Dallas Cowboys in the 90s, and they have to change that narrative, and how you do it is by intimidation. This is football, okay? I'm not saying play dirty, but that's part of it. And that's the formula to win, because Brock Purdy is, as I look at it, their weak link. Now, he's a hell of a player, but he's shown when he gets flustered and he gets hit, he will turn the ball over. That's what I'm saying. I could care less what they say. You 6 million. Why do you think I don't have social media? I don't give morons like that a voice.
So I think it's important to reference what you said earlier, which was in the clip, there is no mention of hurting anyone. There is no mention of intent to injure anyone. There is no mention of knocking Brock Purdy out of the game. When you say worth it, Chu, and this is, again, I have the luxury of knowing you. I have the luxury of working with you every single morning. So I have a little background. I understand where you're coming from, and I know what you mean when you say things. Gabe is actually the expert at knowing what Chewy means when he says things. He's the translator. But I want to get to this very quickly, Gabe, before I let you pop in here. I believe the point you were trying to make when you said it is worth it was establish a level of physicality, set the tone, send a message, we're not going away. Am I wrong or am I right?
Yes, yes. And I'll address that fraud, Richard Sherman. And I don't even know what he said, and I don't care what he said, okay? You mean to tell me Dan Quinn, in their Super Bowl years when they had their run, wasn't saying the exact same thing to the Legion of Boom? Don't do that, Richard, okay? I played in all my years of playing in the NFL, I didn't have one personal foul called against me. Can you say the same? Stop with the clickbait, you know, because that's all this is. It's clickbait. Football is a game of intimidation, okay? That's the mindset of a player. If I know I'm going up against a linebacker of a defensive end who has a bad shoulder, you think I'm sitting there going to block him and go, ooh, I know you got a bad shoulder. I'll try and stay to the left side of you, and I won't hurt that right shoulder. No. You go after it. I'm sorry if that upsets some people, you know.
But that's
the formula to win, especially when you're 9.5-point dogs. And how do I know that? Because we did it.
If you listen to the whole clip like we just played, again, Chewy goes on to explain, like, the worth it part is making him, I mean, in a very Chewy fashion, because Chewy
is seeing ghosts, and he said hearing ghosts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, yep. Hearing ghosts and doing the Chewy sound effects along with it. But you can, like, clearly that's if you hear the, hey, this is worth it, because then it makes him jittery. Like, that's kind of the Chewy translation part of this. And if you listen to the clip, you can clearly hear him finish that thought of not, oh, take him out and have him leave the field on a stretcher. It's, no, you want to make him jittery, so he turns the ball over.
And even if you hadn't been aware of what seeing ghosts mean, which is shocking because in 2019, Sam Darnold said he was caught on a hot mic saying that he was seeing ghosts, and then everybody seemingly was like, what does that mean? What is seeing ghosts? If you weren't intimately close to football. And that, of course, means what you said, Gabe, which is, all of a sudden, you're hearing footsteps. You're paying attention to the pass rush instead of the coverage downfield, which, again, is a strategy to get a quarterback rattled. And I want to be clear, when Chewy says, I'm hearing ghost, sick seeing, right? Because he should have said seeing ghosts. That means that he's still in the game.
If you're hearing ghosts... on a football, yeah, I guess it's kind of that because, like, the ghosts aren't making footsteps.
But they can't be. But this, I love.
It's like the Scooby Doo guys, right? Like all of a sudden, I'm going right to Scooby Doo.
Well, I mean, they're the foremost ghost experts.
I love the 6 million because they're trying to do to me, you know, and us what I want the Packers to do to the 49ers. The difference is I won't be intimidated. I don't care. I don't read Twitter. I don't read. My world is so small. Like,
okay,
care
less. Chewy, let's be honest. You couldn't even log on to Twitter.
I don't know.
I'm trying to get you to log on so we can record all 22 this week, and we can't even get you to do that.
I know.
I do want to be clear on this, guys. Like, we joke around on this show a lot. And again, if you're a loyal listener, you know this. You know, we'll fumble a word. We'll mispronounce a word. We'll confuse a word. It's part of our charm. We know that words matter. We realize that as a show. But what we're trying to say is, those who were listening to the clip that was pushed out on social media, I'm not sure that they heard what they think they heard, because there's a difference between hitting and hurting. Hitting is a fundamental part of football. At its core, football is a game of invasion. Invasion isn't polite. It is literally taking over by force. We know that football is violent. We know that football is brutal. And so I was a little surprised at all of the pearl clutching that took place yesterday, as though Chewy's saying to hit a guy, even Chewy, as you said, a late hit, which is essentially a roughing the passer call, and there were almost 100 roughing the passer calls in the NFL this past year. There, he did not say to hurt anyone. He did not say to injure anyone. He did not say to knock Brock Purdy out of the game. And so you can't just hear what you want to hear. You can't just sit there and put your own interpretation on something.
That's true. It's all clickbait, which is fine. I mean, it's just, I don't think people understand the intimidation of the game. And I had to go, we had to play twice a year, a guy that just would not shut up. And I love John Randall. He was entertaining. But his thing was to intimidate the young guys. And that's why you had to have enforcers on the offense to counter that. Like Frankie Winters, like myself, like Brett, like Earl Dotson. Because we had two rookie guards for a long stretch of the 90s. And that's part of the game.
Well, and you told this story too yesterday, Chew. I know it didn't make the clip because, you know, that it happened later in the show. But you were talking about when you played Dallas, Mike Holmgren wanted you to set the tone by hitting Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
You know, give him that little extra shoulder. Maybe it's a little further downfield than...
Nah, I was going to knock him out.
Well...
I'm not walking anything back.
Yeah, but you also... But then you also missed the guy, right?
Like, I didn't. He's pretty good.
But, I mean, again, but that was part of also, I think, an era of football that you grew up in, played in the 90s.
Because I think this last handful of games, going back to when Aaron played... I think San Francisco had the edge when it came to intimidating the Packers, and they have to flip that narrative.
Well, what's the one thing you think of physicality offensive or on offense? Running the football.
Yeah,
of course.
And that's what San Francisco's been able to do against the Packers these last four times.
Well, and again, as we talk about guys, I think we all know this, but sometimes it's the thing that we don't want to admit. We're so infatuated with football as a society, right? We love the... allegiance to a certain team, the loyalty, the tribalism that goes along with football. But physicality is a huge part of the DNA of football, right? And so as many rules as the NFL instates, you're never going to get away from that. You want to knock the living crap out of a running back to force a fumble, right? And I'm using Chewy's terms, knock the living crap. You want to hit the hell out of a quarterback, so now they're paying attention to the pass rush instead of the coverage downfield. A blocker wants to impose his will so sufficiently on a defensive player that they will think twice about coming around to that side of the line of scrimmage again. Like, all of those things are a part of football. And teams talk about setting the tone every single week. You jump into a locker room and somebody is saying, we got to set the tone early. What do you think they mean? Well, guys, what do you think they mean when they say we're going to set the tone?
And it's funny because we celebrate some physicality. Like on Get Up every week, they have the pancake block. On Good Morning Football, they do angry runs. Yeah. You think the angry run is a you didn't get touched for 80-yard touchdown run? No, angry run is you're running through someone because you lowered the shoulder and you got physical.
There's one thing I want to add here, and Jen, you kind of went on this point, but I want to be more direct. Football is violent. And the sport revolves around violence. And there's a lot of cognitive dissonance, especially following the concussion protocol and all that stuff that happened, where people know what they're watching is violent and dangerous and can cause grave bodily harm. What's happening when they interpret what Chewy said as do something dirty to take him out, it allows you to draw a line in your head of this is okay. Short of this, anything past that is way too far and it's wrong.
Well, and I'll tell you the words, right? Disgusting, scum, clown, trash, because we saw it all day yesterday as people were getting off on telling us how lousy we were.
Right. So what's happening there is it's a way for you to mentally rationalize the amount of money, eyeballs, and effort you put into watching the sport while distancing yourself from the inherent violence and danger of it. When I heard Chewy say that, I didn't think twice about it. And this isn't a humble brag, but I've talked to people who play in the NFL or played college football at the highest levels. This is how they mostly all think. And this is mostly how they all play. Because if you go out there and you aren't violent and you let somebody impose that on you, your football team ends up losing. It's a matter of fact.
And your career is cut short.
Correct.
Right? So talk about initiating the contact. Again, these are all buzzwords and buzz phrases surrounding the sport. What do you think that means, guys? What does it mean to initiate contact? Like, it's just crazy to me that people got so insane about the reaction to this yesterday. Football isn't changing. They will continue to change the rules to try to make the game safer, but it will never be safe. Players change, but the principles of football do not. And there is a problem in the way that we consume football, guys. Most everyone out there, I'm certain most of the people other than Richard Sherman who reacted to Chewy's comments yesterday, consume football on their televisions, however big or small they may be, or on their phones. And the problem with consuming football on television and on phones is it mutes the brutality. There is a luxury to that. Go to a game. Watch from the stands. Get as close to the action as you are physically or financially able to. And maybe you will understand what Chewy was saying about setting the tone. This is what players like Chew understand about the game. Someone is getting hit on every single play. Someone is getting the crap kicked out of them on every single drive. And so to overreact to Chewy saying what he said yesterday about setting the tone and basically letting the 49ers know that we're not going away, establishing a level of physicality, sending a message, should not have blown up the way that it did.
About $6 million is pretty cool. That is pretty cool, right?
You know what he said to me yesterday? The very first thing out of his mouth is I was like, hey, bud, you have any idea what's going on the interwebs? He said, no. I told him. And he goes,
Wait. Can I guess?
Yes, I would love for you to guess.
Is it about now two fan bases hate him going back to Cincinnati?
No, but that's a good one.
Damn.
He said, never gone viral before.
Wasn't sure what it meant.
Did you text your kids asking what it meant?
I guess. I had no idea.
You get some penicillin for that viral you got going on?
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We do have Jason Wilde coming up next. There is a big game going on, obviously, Packers versus 49ers. And we will ask Jason Wilde about the latest surrounding that contest right after this.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years.
in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Always great to get the latest from our pal and teammate Jason Wilde at 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I am very good. Thank you for asking.
Happy to hear that. We're good. Wanted to ask you this morning as we begin preparing for Packers-Niners this morning. Which Packers player are you most confident in doing their job and putting Green Bay in a position to win other than the quarterback Jordan Love?
Zach Tom.
I love it. That's who I was thinking. He's been phenomenal. Now, how much does he affect the outcome of the game?
A lot. He's going to go against Bosa most of the game.
All right, fair enough.
The problem is that they've got all these top 10 picks lined up across their front. And I know Chase Young is a rental, basically, right? But they've got basically five guys that lead that group, and Hargraves is the only one who didn't enter the league as a high first round pick. So that's a really good group. And one of the reasons, as you can read in the Sporting Wisconsin State Journal and on Madison.com, is that they've been so good is that their offensive line has held up and kind of coalesced after being kind of a hot mess during the first half of the season. Over the last 10 games, Jordan Love's been sacked 12 times. I'm no mathematician, but that's just over one a game, and zero by the Cowboys. Now, it's not just the offensive line. Jordan's been great in what Matt LaFleur called a dirty pocket, which felt a little dirty, so that he changed it to muddy pocket. And Aaron Jones has done a really good job of cleaning up some blitzes that have been missed. But they've protected him really well, and that's what's allowed him to put up the numbers that he's put up, in addition to him just playing extremely well.
Jason, is Purdy the weak link in this offense? And what I mean by that, you got a tight end, Kittle, who's one of the best at his position. You have McCaffrey, who is probably the best at that position. And then you got their receivers, Debo, who's one of the best. Do they have to get the Purdy? Because he's shown, if you rattle him and hit him, like they did against Baltimore, he's susceptible to turning the ball over. Is that? And I don't think you can sit back and keep everything in front of you and play cover two. I think they have to come after him, and that's their best chance of winning this game.
Right, and it's also their best chance of things kind of going spiraling quickly and getting themselves in trouble. Yes, I agree, but I think that's what they have to do. The problem, of course, with that theory, Chu, is that they don't get to play Baltimore's defense in place of Joe Barry's defense. And we'll see how effectively they can do that. But you're right. I mean, when they didn't have Trent Williams, right, earlier in the year when they went on that skid, that was also a time where Purdy was under a lot of pressure and they weren't protecting him well. And you know, look, in fairness to Brock Purdy, you know, lots of quarterbacks struggle. I just got done talking about Love and the success he's had, right? I mean, one of the reasons why, and there were a myriad of reasons earlier in the season why Love's numbers were poor, including his own inaccuracy, his own indecisiveness, guys not being where they were supposed to be when they were supposed to be there. But also, after Bakhtiari went down, you know, Rashid Walker wasn't very good. Elton Jenkins was playing, even though he probably came back very prematurely from the knee injury he had in Atlanta. Josh Myers wasn't playing well. And so, you know, if your offensive line plays poorly, I don't care if you're Brock Purdy or Jordan Love or Brett Favre, you know, with Bruce Wilkerson moving his way through a line change, like I just think that, you know, that's where it all begins. And in Purdy's case, if they protect him, he's proven that he's pretty darn good. I mean, he takes a lot of slander, right? I mean, nobody seems to think he's any good, and I understand his pedigree. I understand all that, but you surround him with the pieces that they've surrounded him with, and if you protect him, I think he's been pretty damn good this year.
I do just want to do a smidge of housekeeping here. I did see on social media yesterday by someone who does cover the Packers that Purdy led the NFL this season in passer rating when pressured. So when I saw that, I thought, oh no, even pressuring this guy, even like, you know, blitzing him, he has apparently, according to this information, done well under those circumstances.
Good to know.
Yeah, I want to know where that came from, because like I watched the Baltimore game and I don't know how you could have those four interceptions and still lead the league in passer rating. But that's neither here nor there. Let's get to the Packers defense, Jason. Why has Joe Barry's defense been able to be successful over the last 2 weeks?
He's been motivated by your hope of him being fired.
All right.
Wait, is that true? No, I don't mean him specifically, Gabe specifically, but there must be, that must be a portion of it, right? I mean, this guy's back was against the wall. He was in a corner. And it does seem like the defensive players have had his back.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, they certainly have. I know Preston Smith said that they play for Joe B. I'm not sure that that's, it sounds good. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't talked to guys about, you know, is this a win one for the Gipper type deal? I was only half kidding about Gabe. Like, I don't think Gabe's getting a game ball.
Damn it.
But I do think that, I know. This was an opportunity for you, but I didn't pass along the information to Joe Barry quickly enough of just how adamant you've been. But look, the bottom line is, I do think he has, as Jen said, with his back against the wall, said, all right, I got to do some things differently. Right, and they have. Now, there have still been instances, including on Sunday, if you guys noticed, there was a play where, you know, Quay Walker was covering CeeDee Lamb, right? I'm sure, Gabe, you saw that.
Oh, I saw it almost immediately.
Which I'm thinking, come on now, you got to know your matchups. You got to go Preston Smith there.
Yeah, well, hey, it ended up being an incomplete pass. I mean, it was a bad throw by Dak, but it was still an incomplete pass, Jason.
It did. Very well defended. But I do think that he has risen to the challenge. And obviously, as a defensive coordinator, it's not like you go out there with your hair on fire. But I do think, you know, even though you're not making the plays, you're up in the box, I do think there's been a more aggressive mentality.
Is that because of Matt LaFleur?
I think that's part of it, too.
Because LaFleur did say he was going to get himself more involved.
Correct. And I do think that this is one of the reasons why, barring a Super Bowl run, I still think they're going to make a change. Because I think once your head coach, who is the offensive play caller, who acknowledged that him getting more involved with the defense, there's only so many hours in a day, and it's not super realistic for him to be ultra hands-on with his approach to helping the defense out. You know, once you start doing that, it does kind of send a message that you don't believe that one of your top lieutenants can do the job without you interfering, right? Like, you would like to give everyone autonomy to be able to, you know, take care of their department, and you maybe have a suggestion from time to time. And in this case, when he said that, you know, I think that was one of the reasons why we felt fairly certain that while he wasn't making the change in season, it was more likely to happen after the season.
Last thing before we let you go, Jason, obviously the big news last night in the NFL was that Mike McCarthy will retain his job as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. What was your reaction to that news?
Well, I guess I won't be walking his property in the wintertime because he's got to get ready for the draft and everything else. But I was probably mildly surprised. I think Schefter tweeted that while we were at Sid's basketball practice, and one of the other coaches got like an alert on his watch and mentioned it, and I was pleasantly surprised. Look, I really like Mike. I don't know. Obviously, they pay him very well. I don't know if I could work for Jerry Jones, and I also find myself wondering who would want that job. I know it's a destination job and everything else, but with Jerry Jones getting older and them being further and further and further away from their last Super Bowl and their last, I mean, how many playoff wins do they even have over the last three decades? That's not Like, if I'm Bill Belichick, do I want that job? Like, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, do I want that job? I think I could probably find success elsewhere more effectively than going to Dallas. So I thought it was the right decision. I just didn't think Jerry would make it.
Yeah, I saw Vrabel's name attached to that job, which it turns out was not actually a job that was available. It was more of just a hypothetical job. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on ESPN Milwaukee. Have you guys tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? You know, when I dragged myself out of bed this morning and thought about today's show, I was like, gonna need a Celsius. Maybe two. 18 different flavors to choose from Arctic Vibe to Fuji Apple Pear. And of course, my favorite, the Peach Vibe. I'm not even going to let these knuckleheads weigh in. They always say strawberry. They know that it's wrong. They do it anyway just to annoy
watermelon?
Me. It's so good.
Yeah,
I have one every
watermelon.
Saturday morning before I hit the air for college football season, and it keeps me going throughout the day. You can find it at your local Pick and Save stores or online at Amazon.com. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm not saying it's your fault, although you could have done more.
See, Chewy misspeaks all the time. Raj, Yash.
That tracks.
Yeah, see, and earlier this week, you're like, whoa, when did I get so bad at names?
How
like,
does this,
we have example after example of you knowing literally no one's name.
I was thinking, go ahead, Chew.
How did the song turn out?
Oh, I think we're going to debut it tomorrow.
Okay.
So teaser slash spoiler, let's go with teaser on this one. Teaser will debut the song for the Packers Niners game, I think, tomorrow.
Did you know Joshy was recording something too?
No. What did you record, Joshy?
Might have done a little Britney Spears.
Does it have the word love in it or no?
No, it has Joe Barry heavily featured.
Could be
in
about.
Oh, Barry, Barry.
Yes.
Yes,
you nailed it.
Yes, I love that. We asked Jason Wilde earlier this morning, and if you missed any of that appearance, you can always find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. Which Packers player are you most confident in doing their job and putting Green Bay in a position to win? Now, I'm saying besides Jordan Love, because again, the dude was one completion away from a perfect passer rating. I am wholly, supremely, 100% confident in Jordan Love's ability to usher this team to a victory. But after that, what is your confidence level? I love that Jason said Zach Tom, because I don't think he's getting enough credit for what he has done this season. He has been remarkable. Ironically, I bet you if you asked or polled 100 Packers fans, they couldn't find Zach Tom in the locker room. I mean, you take away those little placards above their lockers that say their names, and they'd be like, I don't know.
But, Chew, this is a different test for Zach Tom than even it was last week, because the Cowboys move Micah Parsons around. So it really took the entire offensive line effort to slow down Micah Parsons the way that they did. Like, and this is true of any pass rusher. You mess up one time, that can wreck the game at the most inopportune time. So, like, he's going to have Bosa across from him, what, 95% of the snaps on Saturday night?
That's why at times you give him help, and we used to do that back in the day. You don't give him help on every play, but just let Bosa know that there's someone there to chip him.
So you're talking like Kraft Musgrave?
It can be. It can be a back as he's going out on a check down, just throwing a shoulder into him. He just has to know that he doesn't know when it's coming.
Throw a shoulder.
Right?
Whew, that sounds violent.
I mean, do we think A.J. Dillon's going to play?
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah, I'm not counting on it.
Yeah, but just for that standpoint alone, play him six plays on passing plays just to let Bosa know that, hey, we're going to help at times. See, you want his second eye to see ghosts. And that's what I mean by seeing ghosts. Once you start seeing ghosts, it takes away some of that speed. It takes away some of that ability. So I would just let him know that, hey, there's a presence there in we're watching you. But Zach Tom is very important. I think my guy is Jaden Reed. Because I've been in that spot before, you know, in the 90s, when you have an offense like that that spreads the ball around to a lot of receivers, and after a game where you have zero catches, and Holmgren was great because he would come up, because guys pout. You know that, right?
What?
I mean, I pout at times.
Wait, how did... Well, I suppose that makes sense. That's why your wife gave you the nickname NFL boy anytime you get pouty.
So I pout at times, and I'm sure LaFleur went up to Jaden and said, don't worry, I know you had no catches. We're going to get you the ball.
Well, and it's easy to manufacture him touches because they like to run the end around, or they'll line up in the backfield and they can do different things with him. I think it's almost easier to kind of manufacture those touches for him versus, like, I mean, Christian Watson had one catch or whatever. It's easier to manufacture touches for Jaden Reed than it is any other wide receiver.
And I was just thinking, like, my brain is telling me that Jaden Reed goes in motion more than mostly every other player, but I don't know that that's true, actually, because I've seen Dontavian Wicks in motion. I've seen Christian Watson in motion. I've seen... So that motion thing is, again, that twofer, right? Because it makes the defense show what they're doing. And also... Jaden Reed is fantastic. He has been fantastic from the backfield as well. I like the Jaden Reed one. I think I'm going to go with Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is my guy that I am most confident in after... Don't do the look at me.
They're really good.
Why, did you steal
defending
it?
Defending the run.
I know they're really good defending the run, but I still think that Aaron Jones is the guy I'm most confident in. He's shifty. He's really shifty. You know, one of the big criticisms of A.J. Dillon over the years has been like he was taken down by first contact. Mm-hmm. That's not Aaron Jones. So I do feel like that is an advantage, even if they're good against the run, that he can kind of get around that first guy, that first attack.
He's on a heater like he's never been on in his career before.
That's true.
And makes me, when you start getting this hot, you start wondering when's that heater going to come to an end. Like he had done prior to this, he had done back-to-back 100-yard rushing games once, and now he's done four games in a row.
Watson's presence also needs to be felt. What was his coming out party a handful of games ago where he was off for a long time and then he came out in the first half and caught a bunch of balls, a few deep ones? They need to feel his presence too. Was it Detroit?
Yeah, remember it was the opening play that LaFleur wanted to change. It was a deep ball. He went up and actually won.
Yeah. LaFleur wanted to change it from the Christian Watson, and Jordan Love insisted on that play. Uh-huh. And again, set the tone, right? Immediately you show the defense that you've got that deep ball threat, that he's come to play that day, and it changes the way the defense has to defend the Packers.
Do you take the ball again? You win the toss?
I think so. Let's put that on the poll, actually. If you win the toss, do you take the ball again?
I'm superstitious, and I do not go with the exact same game plan you had against Dallas.
Well, but that's just the idea against you. If you believe that the Packers need to get out to an early lead, you know, because the whole talk last week was that the Cowboys don't play great from behind because, frankly, they were not in that position very often.
And LaFleur's MO during the season is he starts out really hot, and then opposing defenses kind of figure him out a little bit, and it was nice that Dallas never figured him out.
Because they couldn't stop the run.
So, look, the stars have to align for this to happen, and they can't align. I'm just saying, it's got to align like it did in 95. It's got to align that way.
If the Niners played their A game back in 95, would they have beaten you? Or did you force them? Do you feel like you guys forced them off their A game?
We forced them off their A game because they were always a finesse team back then. They weren't rogue raiders. I don't think they're a finesse team now, but back then they were just a finesse team. And we knew. I think Fritz was the defensive coordinator, and I remember that week it was just get after them, you know.
Because that's what the Packers have to do this week. Like the 49ers A game is better than the Packers A game.
I mean,
like it just is. So that's you got to find a way to get them off their A game so you can have an opportunity to win the game.
And it does feel like, again, physicality, which I know is not the identity of this team. I think a lot of people made that point yesterday in reference to what you said, Chu. That's just not who they have been. But they do have physical guys. They do have guys who can impose their will, who can early in that game set a tone. And again, some of that will be some of those young players on the defensive side of the ball. Like, the big reason why they invested so much draft capital on that side was because they wanted that side to be able to, at times, make a statement. This would be the perfect stage, the perfect opportunity to do just that.
Who is that guy? on defense. I mean, I swear they took Wayne off his meds before that game. Kind of like Tyson when he used to fight. I'm serious. What? Wayne was like, I tell you, that game, I didn't want to mess with Wayne.
I just, but, so you know, I went back and watched so many clips yesterday of Wayne Simmons, like, was not familiar with his work. I do appreciate you, Chu.
Yes.
I appreciate that you showed me. But I mean, in particular, the game that you referenced, I watched him like pile driving guys. And I just wanted to see what you were talking about from a physicality standpoint.
Yeah.
And absolutely no questions asked, he did that.
Yeah, I don't know if they have that guy, Chu, to be honest with you.
It's in there. You just got to pull it out of the guys.
But if they haven't pulled it out to this point, I mean, the season's now 18 games old. I don't know who you're going to pull it out of. Is it Kenny?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, watching in Dallas, let's not forget, they were the number one scoring offense in the NFL. And that defense looked different, and they manhandled.
You're telling me Quay Walker doesn't have a little crazy in him?
But that comes out on the sideline when a coach is in his
face.
Or a doctor comes out.
Channel it to stay within the white lines.
I think it's the secondary. The secondary sets the tone for the Packers.
Really?
I think Carrington Valentine, Jair Alexander, Darnell Savage, when he's not missing and actually making plays and
Keyshawn?
Hits.
Keyshawn?
Yeah, those guys set the tone. Amon-Ra St. Brown was on the podcast with his brother saying, like, how did you let the Packers beat you? And then he was saying, Valentine and Ballantyne, those guys talk and they get after you. They don't care. And I think those are the tone setters. And, I mean, Keyshawn Nixon has made a lot of those, like, just attack the line of scrimmage and make a big hit.
He made probably the most underrated play last week that kind of got forgotten because it ended up being a blowout.
Right.
But early in the game, when he had his sack of Dak, like, that was a huge play in that moment that kind of stifled any sort of momentum the Cowboys had on that drive.
Would you say it set the tone? So,
I mean, well, Sutton set the tone because when you got CD Lamb and Dak fighting, clearly fighting
something
in the
happened
middle of the game.
Yeah.
Someone did something.
I think that's where Jair has to, if we're talking about the tone setter, that's actually Jair. Like, Jair will be the tone setter in terms of getting everybody hyped up, getting everybody on his level of how hyped he is. He's now, again, not been as physical, but I think it's more about getting everybody in that right headspace, and that's where he becomes that tone
setter. I also think we underrate Rashawn Gary and what he means to the defense. I've seen him break down in those little videos. He breaks the team down after wins, like, almost every single time. Like, he's clearly a vocal leader. His play always isn't leader play. But to me, that guy is one that gets everyone going. And if he starts making plays, it can only be better for
the
defense.
Who was the Packers player yesterday? The clip that was circulating on social media,
Devondre,
amongst other things.
No, or Devondre.
Somebody walked up to Jordan Love and said, legacy, you know, keep doing what you're doing. It was a defensive player. I'll find it. I thought maybe it was Rashawn Gary, but now my brain is not locating the answer to that trivia question. 800-990-3776. Which Packers player are you most confident in doing their job and putting Green Bay in a position to win? 800-990-3776. We've given our responses. Gabe, have you said your player? We'll talk about it after the break.
We can do that.
Oh, a little teaser. Right after this.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
On the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, who's the player you're most confident in besides Jordan Love? And look, it could be Jordan Love for you. I'm just saying, for me personally, I want to take him out of the mix because I want to dig a little deeper on some of the other guys who I feel have performed really well under pressure and who I feel confident will be able to carry the day for the Packers. I said Aaron Jones. Gabe, who's your guy?
I think I'm going Jair, because even though he has been unreliable throughout the course of the regular season, the one thing I think over the last 2 years we've definitely learned about him is when there's a big game looming, that dude's going to get up. Whether it was holding Justin Jefferson to the one catch for 15 yards, whether it was last week and we were unsure. Like, there was the report before the game from the NFL Network saying Jair was 50-50, and then Jane Slater had the report of all the different things he did to try to make sure he was healthy. And then what does the dude do? has an interception early that really sets the Packers up to be able to take that lead that they're looking for to get up by a couple of scores. And he played really well until he tweaked that ankle again. And I have no doubt that he's going to do everything possible. He's not a guy I think needs to go through, especially since this week is just mostly walkthroughs for the Packers. Like, I think he's a guy that he's going to be out there. I have no doubt he's going to be out there. And he gets himself up for the biggest moments. And that's what this is for the Packers.
LaFleur did say that he is further along than he was last week at this point. So they believe he has a better chance of playing than he did even last week when he was on the field.
Who's better? CD Lamb or Debo?
You said CD, didn't you?
They're different, but it's CD. Like, CD is a better pure receiver.
So you don't expect Jair to be following?
No. If you were probably going to put him on one person, it'd probably be Ayuk. Because Ayuk's more of a traditional wide receiver. Yeah. Like, Debo
pushes the ball downfield.
I tell you who scares me, though, more than anyone is Kittle. Because if they get,
middle of the field, Joe Barry defense. Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
No, it's just the play-action pass. If they allow McCaffrey to get his run game going, and the Packers have been better, but they haven't been great all season long, play-action pass, it stings, And then what do you do with him?
Yeah.
If you're going to play man, who covers him? Do you put Quay on him? Do you put a safety on him? Kittle scares me the most outside of McCaffrey out of anyone else on that offense.
The thing with George,
take over a game.
The thing with George Kittle is he makes you tackle.
Yes.
Because he runs through your face. And that's not necessarily the Packers' strong point.
That has not been a strong point,
especially
for that
enough,
secondary.
The Packers have been using Devondre Campbell now since he's been injured in more of a coverage linebacker position, which we saw him play poorly in against Tampa Bay. But then this past week, it's hard to tell how he played because the game was so out of hand. But they've been bringing him in mostly in those situations because he is playing injured.
I tell you what, I would rather play Kelce than Kittle because Kelce can't block. Kittle can block. Mm-hmm. Kittle can get after it, That's one thing that scares me this week is the play-action pass. They have to be dialed in on that.
Well, and they're going to be, because they're going to have to sell out in order to stop the run, Chu.
Yeah.
So that is a scary part.
Is this going to be mirror image offenses, by the way? Are we going to be seeing the same type of motion, the same type of formation, the same type of play calling from the Kyle Shanahan group as we have seen this season from Matt LaFleur?
Probably.
Yep.
It's going to be like that Spider-Man meme. Uh-huh. That Spider-Man guy where he's just pointing at each other, that's what we're going to see on the field.
Except Matt LaFleur, instead of using his pointer finger, might be using a different finger where he's pointing back at Shanahan.
If I'm LaFleur, I'm changing up personnel groups because you have two tight ends, even though they're young, can play the game. And I've told you guys a million times, back in the day, San Francisco's going to have to make a decision because when it was me and Keith, if they came in small, we'd run the ball. If they came in big, we would throw the ball. So I see him changing up a lot of personnel groupings to keep that defense kind of off balance. The coaching aspect of this game is going to be huge.
Big news last night in the NFL, Mike McCarthy keeping his job with the Cowboys. Packers fans, you surprised by that? I know you got a soft spot in your heart for Mike McCarthy, but surprised that he's keeping his job after the performance the Cowboys put up? We'll talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.